What's going on, everyone, and welcome to Double M Live. Yes, we're back here in Warm Studio, brought to you by BetOnline.ag. We got Mike Nice in the building. It's DJ Mees, brother. Episode 109.
109. We making moves.
We're getting there, man. Listen, when we did the episode 100.
Yeah.
A lot of people told us, don't wait till another 100th episode to do a live show.
You know what? It's crazy. As we've been sitting here in Warm Studios, I was thinking to myself, in the midst of conversation.
Of course. A lot of good convo tonight.
I said, yo, we have to do another live show. Don't got to be 100. Don't got to be 200. Don't got to be 150. The people just want to be brought together and be a part of the conversation. What we always say, join the conversation.
Join the conversation.
If people want to be brought together, be a part of the conversation, let's make it happen. Soon come, Double M Live, live audience. We want y'all to be a part of it once again. It's coming soon. Don't know when.
We don't know when, but
where?
We can have this conversation right now. September is coming up. September's coming up.
You ain't said a lie.
So like,
been,
you know,
part
what I'm
a couple of them Septembers.
Every time we've done a live show, we've had a live guest. September's coming up.
September live show. September live show. Live audience.
I heard Warm's gonna be involved in September.
My mathematics
as well.
Ain't too crazy, but that sound like something plus something. Multiplied by something, because yes. You add Warm in, that's multiplication. That ain't no addition.
That's okay.
That's multiplication.
I don't understand math. That's okay.
PEMDAS. GEMDAS.
PEMDAS. Patties. Never mind.
No, it's George eats.
George?
Who? What's okay, GEMDAS? All right. What's GEMDAS?
GEMDAS. George eats dozens
but, no,
of
no, 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 no. Not the. What is G in math?
PEMDAS, GEMDAS.
No, I know PEMDAS, bro. P is parentheses. What is G?
Yo, listen. No, about middle school.
I'm not letting this go.
It's PEMDAS.
What
and
is GEMDAS?
What does the P stand for?
Parentheses. I just said it.
G stands for grouping. That's the type of parentheses. Grouping.
A.
Something like that. I don't remember. You asking me about middle school, bro? I'm a grown ass man. Ask me about middle school terms that I learned. I don't remember. All I remember is it was PEMDAS and it was GEMDAS. You want to get into it? We could do Google search after, but
it's okay.
It's Double M 109.
Double M 109. We have a really, really fun episode for you guys. After you guys listen to this episode, you guys will catch an interview that I did with my brother Destiny on Destiny's House. Make sure you guys stay tuned after this episode as well to listen to that. But moving on, Mike Nice, bro. I feel like this is just a revolving topic that we keep talking about. Kevin Durant. Anytime the season just starts to get to a dull, I saw it on Bleacher Report. Every time the season gets to a dull, Kevin Durant goes, "Watch this, watch this," and he just gives us something new to talk about. The latest news, as you guys probably know already, Kevin Durant had a meeting with the owner. What's the first name?
Joe Tsai.
Joe's the first name. So Joe Tsai, he had the owner with we got Sam in the building, by the way. I don't know if we introduced everyone. We got our EP. You'll see him more regularly on the show, but we got our EP in the building. So Kevin Durant had the meeting with Joe Tsai, and we found out all the details 2 minutes afterwards. We're going to talk about how we found out that information after 2 minutes. But he had a meeting with Joe Tsai, and he pretty much said this, man. He gave his owner the crazy ultimatum. Look, you either keep me here, but if you want to keep me, you got to get rid of Steve Nash and Sean Marks, the GM. Steve Nash is the coaches. But you got to trade me. If you don't do that, you got to get rid of me. Wild, wild circumstances from Shams Report. Before I get your thoughts, I'm just going to read to you, you know, what exactly was said. And then we can really dive into what this really means for the Nets and how this moves forward. And I had the article pulled up and now it's gone. So we're going to scratch that. We're not going to pull it up. It's going to take some time. So, Mike, your thoughts on the whole the whole thing of Kevin Durant giving the ultimate ultimatum, because I have opinions, I have thoughts, but I want to hear from you, brother.
So, I'm a Kevin Durant fan.
Crazy.
Let me clarify that. I'm a Kevin Durant, crazy, the basketball player fan. Ever since Kevin Durant's coming to the league, in his early years, that man was strictly basketball, basketball, basketball. Nice at basketball. One of the greatest scorers we've ever seen when it comes to basketball. Wasn't really big into the media and talking too much. He just focused on basketball. As the years have progressed, we've gotten to know Kevin Durant much more, especially social media-wise. And the person who he gives off, especially in terms of social media, I can't get behind. And then on top of that, not only the social media aspect, but the way he's just gone about his career and making different moves and whatnot, I haven't been a huge supporter of it. When I'm talking about not only just currently with this Nets situation, but obviously go back to him leaving OKC, going to Golden State. A lot of different things in terms of his moves I haven't been supportive of. And then social media-wise, I haven't been supportive of. But the basketball player, I love. Kevin Durant.
Yeah, bro, what do you feel about this move? This dude's giving me a whole history lesson. What do you feel about what just happened?
He just wanted justice. It's just
dude's taking that long.
Because I'm a fan. But I feel that this guy's just in a very toxic place right now with how he's handling things. And when it comes to this move, it doesn't make sense to me, because since Kevin Durant has come to Brooklyn, he wanted to come to Brooklyn. He wanted to sign with Brooklyn to be with his boy Kyrie Irving. Even when he was injured, returning from his Achilles injury, the GM decided to give him a max contract. That's something you got me hip to. The GM decided to still give him a max contract while he was trying to return to his injury. And then even prior to that, when he signed with Brooklyn, you know that the organization wasn't hiring a coach without going to Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant.
Right.
And they went to those guys. They brought up Nash. Apparently, they like Nash. I saw an article where Durant was hyping Nash.
He was in Golden State with him.
Oh, my goodness. The knowledge. I'm a sponge when I'm on the court with him. And to go through all of that with getting Nash as your coach, to go through all of that with Sean Marks being the GM, giving you a max contract, and then trying to do whatever he can to build a team around what you want and what you and Kyrie want, to go from all of that to then today saying those two guys need to be fired if you want me to stay. Durant just makes absolute, he's just a mind-boggling person right now in the basketball world, in the NBA world. He makes absolutely no sense. He said all this, fire the GM, fire the coach, I want to be traded, but still at the core of it, nobody really understands the reason why he wants out. He's saying he doesn't trust their current movement, he doesn't trust the trajectory that they're on, but like, it doesn't make sense, because they've been doing everything to build the team around you and your boy Kyrie. All of a sudden, you just don't trust how they're moving. It still, even with the information coming out, it still doesn't make sense.
So here's the Shams article, bringing up what you mentioned. So Shams says, in face-to-face meeting with Brooklyn Nets owner Joe Tsai, over the weekend, All-Stars Kevin Durant reiterated his trade request and informed Tsai that he needs to choose between Durant or the pairing of general manager Sean Marks and coach Steve Nash. Sources with direct knowledge of the meeting tell The Athletic. Durant stated he does not have faith in the team's direction, sources said. Durant and Tsai spoke in London on Saturday, and source Saturday. What day is it today?
We are recording on the 9th of Tuesday, August 9th.
Fan, this information came mad quick. London on Saturday, and sources described the discussion as transparent and professional. The meeting took place a year to the day that Durant agreed to a four-year, $198 million contract extension with the Nets, and barely over a month after his initial trade request on June 30th, he is now entering the first season of that extension. So look, there's so many factors into this, right? And we've already had a Kevin Durant conversation that's dropping soon. So here's how I see it. I just want to say Durant is not a bad person. He's like he's a good dude. Basketball wise, shaky. He real shaky basketball mentality, running away from the ground. We have all heard that, and that's just my opinion as a person. I think he's a solid guy. You can look at it in both ways. One, Durant's not wrong. The moves that Sean Marks have made, you can look at it as a basketball construct and look at it and be like, it's a stupid ass team. So you have Durant and you have Kyrie. Two of the greatest scorers to ever play basketball. You look at a team like that and you say, okay, let's build around that, you know, get some real good role players. What they do, they bring in a Blake Griffin, a Patty Mills, a LaMarcus Aldridge. Who else did they have?
They had DeAndre Jordan at one point in time.
They had DeAndre Jordan off of Kevin Durant's and Kyrie's choosing. But and Goran Dragic, right? You bring in all these type of players who formerly were great players or at the end of their prime, but they were all offensively minded players. Goran Dragic, offense. Blake Griffin, offense. LaMarcus Aldridge. None of these players that I mentioned has anything to do with defense. On a team where you need no offense at all, you have Kyrie Irving and you have Kevin Durant. If I'm the GM, I'm like, bet. I have the two greatest scorers ever. All I'm doing is bringing role players that hustle and play defense. The Nets do, look, if you look at the Celtics run, right? Celtics have the best defense of all of the NBA in the playoffs. The Nets didn't struggle playing against the Celtics offensively. Where they struggled was defensively. The Nets had the best scoring average against any team against the Celtics. Even Golden State didn't score as well as the Nets did against the Celtics. Where did they struggle? The Nets struggled defensively. They had no problem offensively. They just couldn't play any type of defense. So Durant could look at that and be like, oh, wow, my GM sucks. What kind of team construct is this?
It's players he wanted, though.
There's the flip side. All these moves was to cater to you.
They didn't make any move without asking Kyrie or KD.
All these moves was because of what you guys wanted to do. So I understand, as the outside looking, it's like, yeah, this GM not too smart. It's not a great constructive team. Like, you can look at it and think about the Lakers. LeBron did the same thing. He brought in Westbrook. All these moves in, it's like, at the end of the day, you got to look at Pelinka and be like, Pelinka, that's not a smart move. Pelinka could easily just sat LeBron and AD down and be like, look, guys, I know you want Westbrook, but he's on the decline. He doesn't play defense. This is going to hurt the team. Or you can cater to LeBron and AD, bring Westbrook in, and AD's injury prone. LeBron's 35, 39 years old, and the team doesn't work. That's on the GM. GMs need to start looking at their plays and be like, look, guys, I understand you want this, that, and the third, but this is not going to make a great team. Look at the best constructive teams right now in the NBA. You got the Clippers and you got the Celtics. That's like best, and obviously Golden State Warriors. As teams that you look at that team, like, that team makes sense. Look what the Clippers did. They got Kawhi and Paul George. What did they surround Kawhi and Paul George with? Just a bunch of wings that are dogs. They don't score. Marcus Morris, Robert Covington, John Wall, Reggie Jackson, Nick Batum. This bunch of wings that are dogs that are going to play defense, that are going to hustle. That's a great constructive team. Zubac, great constructive team. Golden State, we already know what they have. Celtics, what did they do? They surrounded Tatum and Brown with some dogs. dudes who are going to play defense, who are going to grind. Great constructive team. Then you look at the Nets, Kyrie, Durant, and it was just a bunch of scorers who don't play defense. Now you look at it, they brought in Royce O'Neal. They have Ben Simmons now. So you look at it like, damn, they really built something. But the relationship is deterred. And this is Durant's biggest problem. Durant's biggest problem is he has a blind spot for Kyrie Irving. That's his boy. Yeah. That's his best friend. Durant doesn't understand all the issues that have happened is because of his best friend. If Durant had realized that in the beginning, none of this would have happened. But he has a blind spot. It's natural. It's human natural. If you're my boy, you're my best friend, I love you, and you're causing destruction, I'm just thinking, that's just how my boy is. That's just my guy. That's how he is. I'm not seeing it fully from the outside like, oh, he's causing a ruckus, and this is the issue here. There's been for 2 years, Kyrie was a freaking menace to the Nets. Everyone wants to bring up COVID. Okay, COVID was bad. The year before, dude took PTOs. I didn't even know NBA had PTOs.
Since his birthday,
they
bro.
They don't.
I didn't they know don't. They had. They don't. There was, poor Steve Nash, first year.
Since his birthday.
Poor Steve Nash, first year in the NBA. They was asking Steve Nash, when is Kyrie coming back? Steve Nash had to look in the camera and be like,
when he wants to.
I don't know.
It's sister's birthday. Come on.
For a week?
Mike, you have a sister. Did you miss work because of her birthday?
I want to keep working. I want my job. Can't do that.
Like, it's wild. Kyrie's been a menace. I love Kyrie. He's been a menace to the Nets. KD doesn't speak up and say anything because that's his best friend. That's his boy. He's always going to have his back. And that's what the problem is. Now he put an ultimatum. He put an ultimatum with the... And the owner, Sam and I were just talking about this. The owner can't accept KD's request.
Nope.
Because if he accepts it, every owner in the league is going to call Josiah and be like, what are you doing?
Laughing stock.
You are making us look bad. You can't accept it. If Josiah fires Sean Marks and Steve Nash...
What if he said just one of them?
You heard what KD said?
I mean, what if KD said...
I mean, he should fire Steve Nash.
Steve Nash deserved to be
fired. Yeah.
But it's not Steve Nash's fault. Your first coaching job shouldn't be with the team with a bunch of super egos. That's not fair. They set him up to fail.
If KD said, hey, just get rid of Steve Nash and I'll stick around.
This is what Josiah should do. Honestly, and it's going to look bad, but hear me up. This is honestly what Josiah should do. He looks at KD and goes, KD, I'm going to succumb to your request.
Choose one?
No. He's going to say, I'll fire Sean Marks. I'll fire Steve Nash. But I have to get rid of Kyrie. Because you love basketball. You're a basketball head. And you're a great relationship. You and Kyrie is toxic as hell. I want to be with you. I want to build a championship around you. I can't deal with Kyrie. This is what's going to be. I'll succumb to your request. I'm getting rid of Kyrie. That's what he should do.
I already think KD and Kyrie ain't as cool as we all think. That's just me personally.
Nah, they're cool.
I don't know.
They're cool, bro.
I don't know anymore. I used to think that for sure. I don't know anymore. Obviously, it's easy to think one way or the other because media-wise. But prior to all this going on, all you heard is Kyrie, Katie, they boys. Oh, they want to come to Brooklyn together.
Yeah, they're cool.
Obviously, it's not in the media anymore, but like, for all of a sudden, Kyrie wanted out. He picked up his option, he stayed.
Kyrie only picked up his option because of his mess that he caused.
But KD now wants out. And the reports, KD don't give it. I mean, obviously, there were reports coming out saying, well, they want to be traded together. That's not happening.
Kyrie and KD are cool, I'm telling you.
But to me, I'm thinking if I'm your boy, we're boys, obviously, we both know we're some killers on the court. and like, hey, we boys, let's play this next season together and see what we can do. I think if you close enough, that's what you're going to do. The fact that KD's still saying, oh, I don't care, I want out, that don't give me no, that's my boy mentality. Because at the end of the day, yeah, the coach, GM, but like, what matters is what's happening in those lines. A lot of times I'm thinking, obviously I'm not in the NBA, but I'm like, yo, the situation might suck, my job might suck, but look, I'm there with my boy. I'm working with my boy, and it's going to be a good time no matter what. Let me just deal with that. And the fact that that's
this,
not
but
the
this
case.
But this is why. Because, Mike, any other superstar, Kyrie's gone. Before the pandemic.
Kyrie ain't even demanding a trade request no more.
Kyrie's not lasting on the Brooklyn Nets.
Past February,
if Kevin Durant is not on that team.
He won't make it to Christmas.
Any team in the NBA would have traded Kyrie. Do you not, like, any team.
So, they then, after going through the last season, two seasons of Sean Marks kind of trying to give those guys whatever they want, going through the last two seasons of they decided to choose Nash as the coach, all of a sudden, and I'm not arguing your point. It just doesn't make sense why you guys have the opportunity to keep playing with each other and then just one out. It's just crazy how they both really hate Brooklyn. So, you know the freaking essays and conversations Kyrie had about trying to sign with Brooklyn?
Yeah.
And I mean, his decision to go to Brooklyn because he's close to home. And
but, Mike, talking about Kyrie.
Yeah, he's twisted.
Hey, bingo.
And then KD, who, again, like I was saying before, he was never really like this. Obviously, you had to move from OKC to Golden State, but he never was really like this. Now you're talking about a guy who signed a max extension, still got 4 years on the deal.
The 4 years is crazy, bro.
And wants out from a team where he decided who the coach was going to be. He decided to play with his boy. And the GM gave him the max contract. The GM didn't have to do that. And the GM went out of his way to try to get players to help boost the team and make them successful. Now you want out of there.
What if KD wants out of Brooklyn so bad because he knows Kyrie's not staying?
It's very probable. I mean, Kyrie is not going to stay with the Nets after this year.
So what if they're so close, KD saying, move me now because I know Kyrie can't stay?
I don't believe the aspect of KD and Kyrie aren't cool. I don't believe that. I think they know exactly what each are thinking. I think they're both in cahoots. They know exactly what they're thinking of what moves they're gonna do and things like that. I have no inkling that they're not close anymore. I mean, obviously, when Kyrie signed and then like 2 days later, KD wanted to request that.
Didn't look good.
That looked funny. But then through all of it, it's starting to really make sense that these two, like KD has a blind spot. He has a blind spot for Kyrie. And you just think human nature. You think about your best friends. You think about your boys. You're naturally going to have a blind spot for that. And that's the downfall of KD right there. His loyalty to Kyrie. That's my opinion.
I'll tell you what. Adala says they end up on the same team next year.
That would be nuts.
Kyrie is going to sign wherever KD's at next year.
Maybe.
I have another KD thought and Kyrie. I have another KD spot, but let's get into BetOnline.ag and then we'll get right back to it.
This conversation get real wild with this KD, Kyrie, NBA situation. But like Marv said, let's get into our sponsors. BetOnline.ag, and you know, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live, in-game betting, props, and features. Head to BetOnline today to use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use the promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
So, Mike, last episode that we spoke about this, we brought up, you know, the Celtics and the Nets. And obviously, things have died down since. We spoke about the Jaylen Brown SMH. Look, after this report, I think the chances of KD being on the Celtics are higher. Because one, as I mentioned earlier, Josiah has to trade KD. He has no choice now. KD's the reason why this report got leaked. It's the reason why we found out as soon as possible when they had the meeting, what happened. The pressure's on. Obviously, at this report as well, you got the Raptors and the Celtics who are still on the front line of the trade.
In Miami.
When the Miami one doesn't make no sense to me, because I don't know what assets they're going to... Miami one doesn't make sense. Toronto makes a lot of sense. If you can get a Scottie Barnes, I think Scottie Barnes is a hell of a player, and his trajectory looks like he can be that guy. So if you could get a Scottie Barnes, that could be Kawhi-esque. So I understand that. If you can get a Zion, I think Zion's the team that makes the most sense, the Pelicans.
Well, they were saying that the Pelicans get Kevin Durant, and it's Ingram that's on the way out. It's Ingram.
Yeah, so peep what I'm saying. If you could get Zion, I think you go get Zion. Ingram, I wouldn't do that. But if you could get Zion and pair KD with Ingram with the Pelicans, maybe you do Zion and McCollum to the Nets, and you get KD and Ingram, I think both teams win in that situation. You hope Zion, his weight and everything, his injury history, works out.
Hey, what Sam's saying, I think the better pairing would be Zion and KD.
Think Zion, KD? Nah, I think that's too much of a risk.
Because you're worried about injury-wise?
Yeah.
Well, that's what the Pelicans are doing. They're like, we can't risk that.
Yeah, so Pelicans would want what? Pelicans would want what?
The Pelicans wouldn't want KD and Zion.
They would want Pelicans and...
I think the Pelicans would rather keep Ingram.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. KD and Ingram would be a force. Because they're both 3-and-D guys. Ingram's taking another step. If you guys watch what he did against the Phoenix Suns, so all you need to know is Ingram's ready. Ingram's a top player in this league. You pair him up with Kevin Durant. You have Herbert Jones. You have these players. Pelicans could be really scary. So I said Scottie Barnes, Toronto, Zion. If you can't go get those two, Jaylen Brown's perfect. Jaylen Brown is the perfect fit. And after what KD just did, I'm calling Brad Stevens up right now and being like, let's revisit that trade. I'm sorry about that whole Marcus Smart thing. I was being a little greedy. Let's go back. Jaylen Brown's your next star. Jaylen Brown is on the trajectory up. If I can get Jaylen Brown, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons on my team, I'm sitting pretty.
I'm a player. I got to be on the opposite side of that because I feel as if this whole recent situation with him saying, hey, fire the coach, fire the gym if you want me, that doesn't help who KD is in terms of his trade value. And even reading an article and listening to some of the words that Brian Windhorst had to say, he says he's talked to teams and he doesn't think this recent situation has increased his trade value.
You're looking at it the opposite way. I'm thinking about the Nets. I'm not thinking about the team receiving.
I said
the Nets should call Brad Stevens. I didn't say Brad Stevens should call.
And obviously, right now, the Nets got to look to, hey, this is a wild situation. Nets got to look to take whatever offer they can get. I'm talking about from the Celtics' point of view, now more so even ever, and I get it. I've had this conversation with my dad, my brother, different people. KD, it's KD.
At the end of the day, that's what's going to stand up.
But like, with this current information coming out about, hey, you need to trade your coach and trade GM if you want me. I'm talking about from the Celtics' point of view. It's another reason to want to stay away from KD. But man, I get it who he is. You're talking
from a Celtics point of view as a fan, bro.
But not even as a fan. If I'm even Brad Stevens, you got a guy who's... Again, we don't fully know, because even if the GM of the Nets were to say, okay, KD, you want to fire Marks and Nash? Okay, I'll do it. And KD can say, hey, you fired, but still, I want out of here.
Right.
The fact that you even got to deal with that possible limbo. If I'm a GM, and obviously, I'm speaking from a Celtics point of view, because, yes, I'm a Celtics fan. Brad Stevens, or any other GM, but, yeah, Brad Stevens got to look at that like, yo, this is a player who, if he doesn't want his way, if he doesn't like how things are going, he's the one who signed the extension with the Nets. He'd have to sign no extension. I mean, obviously, it's max money, sure. But he's the one who signed the extension with the Nets. This is a player who, if things aren't going my way, I'm ready to say, hey, if this is the Celtics, hey, Ime, I don't like you. Wick, bro, spread. You get a fire Brad Stevens and fire Ime if you want me to stick around on the Celtics. Sam, you're a Lakers fan. Very much. You want to tell Jenny Bush you need to fire, what's the name, Ham that they just hired? And Palinka, because you don't like how things are rolling over there? Yo.
So
here's the difference.
I don't like that, bro.
There's a difference. There's a big difference between Nets and Celtics, Lakers.
Exactly. But I get it. But the fact that that's a player who has a mindset to even speak those words to an owner,
because he has the power.
There it is.
And that's trouble.
But let's see. But again, if you're an organization that gave him that much power. Put yourself in that position.
Celtics and Lakers aren't. Look what the Lakers did to LeBron. This is cool.
No more. LeBron is not allowed to make any more personnel. Because
Lakers are big.
You believe that?
Trust me.
You believe that?
Do you know how much my heart hurts about these Lakers?
No. Lakers said, look, LeBron, you're LeBron James. We're the freaking Lakers.
That's it. This is the first year they put different. When have you heard LeBron's name?
No, they cut LeBron off because it went to trash.
Look at the moves that they've made. All they've done is got defensive. They haven't signed anybody that could put the ball in the bucket, because what was their problem last year? Defense.
Agreed.
And they're trying to get Russ the hell up. Russ was the final nail in the coffin in terms of LeBron having any GM power. That lay GM mode is gone. Because the Lakers know that LeBron wants to stay a Laker. He doesn't want to play for any other team.
Let his son get drafted somewhere.
But first of all, if we're going to be honest, all respect, we don't even know if Bronny going to get drafted. He's not even the best brother out of the two of them.
We're not going to talk about Bronny.
So let's move on from that aspect. LeBron wants to retire a Laker. So he's not going anywhere. The Lakers know that. So they're like, yo, we listened to you last time. You wanted Russ. We mortgaged our future to get you Russ.
Organizations.
Now you don't want Russ. So now
Nets are not those.
We can't trust you. Jeannie Buss, has she always made the right decisions? Hell no.
I think KD is
pushed very far from me. But I'm telling you right now, there is not. KD's not walking into Jeannie Buss's office and telling her that she got to fire Darwin Ham and Rob Pelinka.
KD talking real wild right now.
Because there's cachet. Steve Nash don't have no cachet.
There's a lot of reasons.
Right.
I mean, and
it's very easy. It's very easy to say, I want Sean Marks and Steve Nash to go on the Brooklyn Nets.
At the end of the day,
Pelinka brought the Lakers a ring.
Brooklyn got a lower price. Is asking price for KD, especially after.
But that's what I just said.
And I'm hearing you. And I'm again, you know, a lot of times we do the show, we come in from a Celtics aspect, and I'm just
speaking from a Celtics aspect. I want to make it clear, I don't want no parts of KD. I'm thinking business. All I'm doing is strictly thinking business.
Well, yeah, they got it.
And it makes sense.
They got to take business whatever they can right now.
Business wise, we're just talking business. We're taking personalities away. Business wise. It kind of makes sense for both teams. And I, as a Celtics fan, I don't think, want it.
It don't make sense for the Celtics.
You put KD You put KD on the Celtics right now with the roster, you get Jaylen Brown, you take Derrick White.
My brother was saying, like, the same
come on,
thing.
Bro.
I get it. Like, I get it.
Do they,
but
do they beat
business. A lot let's of, talk business.
A lot,
yes.
And then, at the,
do they beat Golden State?
A lot of the
I
times,
don't know, but it's a lot closer than them losing three straight.
A lot games. Of the times, as well as right now, you're thinking also long term.
Yeah, long term.
Celtics window gets really smaller with KD on the team. Because yes, you don't know if you keep the same team, you get a championship. You don't know if you get KD, do you get a champ? You don't know. That's how sports works. But in terms of what your window looks like, you get KD on the Celtics. Yeah, maybe if he stays healthy, you have chances to get to the finals, get to the Eastern Conference Finals. But like, let's be honest, KD not playing another 5 years, another 4 years, he's gonna retire by then.
GMs don't think that. Just win a championship.
Okay.
But what so, I'm saying is, question. If you think, hold on. If you're thinking about it again from a Celtics standpoint, you have a chance of keeping what you have going and being successful for another 4, 5, 6, 7 years, or you have a chance of getting KD and hopefully being successful in the next 2, 3 years, and then possibly, because at the end of the day, they're going to give Tatum a max contract. But if you got KD, who you trade for, who you trade away a couple assets for, now you're looking at a team that's just Tatum, max contract, and now you're trying to hope that you can maybe draft some guys and sign some guys to be around Tatum, to be there as Tatum gets older and deeper into his contract, when you can possibly stick with the core guys that you have right now on the Celtics team that can hopefully continue
don't
to find...
Don't say core guys. Just say Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown, Tatum, but they want smart. You're saying maybe they'll change the asking
they
price.
Won't. They won't ask no, for smart what, no more. That's the point.
We don't know.
The asking price for KD has been lower.
Everything got lowered now.
Now Marcus Smart is off the table and the Nets have no choice but to accept that. Now it's you're going to take Jaylen Brown and you're going to take Derrick White and you're going to take this first round pick in 2032. And you gonna like it. And you gonna be happy about it. Now let's be real. Let's be honest with you. You're saying you're thinking about the long term of the Celtics. We've seen Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum together this whole time.
What's whole and time?
Since they've both been drafted, right?
It's been and a lot of different
lot,
Celtics teams, bro.
There's been a lot of changes, right? But trajectory-wise, there's no guarantee that duo ever brings a ring to Boston either. So
exactly.
There's no guarantee on either side. You're right.
There is no guarantee.
There's no guarantee.
Side. But let me tell you something right now. If you have to pick between duos that you want to put on the floor money. Right now, do you want Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? Or do you want Jason Tatum and Kevin Durant?
You got to take feelings away. If you take feelings away, biz basketball-wise, you want Tatum and Durant on the
Durant,
floor.
You get Durant, but you might lose some extra pieces on the team. That is
only Derrick.
But Derrick White.
The proposal was Derrick White, bro.
It was Derrick White, Jaylen Brown in a first round pick.
Yeah, that was the proposal.
And I don't know. If you're a team that's
Nets said, nah, F that. Let's get Marcus Smart as well.
And what happened?
I'm sticking to my guns, bro.
As soon as the Celtics.
You can stick to your guns, but peep. You said there could be more pieces. We're telling you what the pieces were. Derrick White in first round.
I don't give a damn what the pieces was.
What happened as soon as the Nets
Celtics
said they wanted Marcus Smart?
Celtics need to
hung up the phone.
Celtics need to stay clear.
My
that
Mike,
guy.
We know that fact. Get rid of the fandom. We're not talking fandom right now.
Business
we're
fandom.
We're talking business. Nah,
business,
we're not,
fandom.
Not business fandom. Business. Let's talk business.
Okay.
Business. If we're talking business, does it not make sense for the Nets to make that trade?
Absolutely.
If we're talking business,
oh, yeah.
it makes sense for the Nets to do.
We did a fandom podcast already.
I don't think it makes sense for the Celtics.
It does make sense.
Nets gotta be down. Nets gotta be down. It don't get Celtics, Raptors, Pelicans, like y'all said. For who?
Business
right now,
still makes sense for the Celtics.
It makes
as well.
It. Celtics. It don't make sense.
What was the main issue with the Celtics in the finals? When it came down,
this
to
episode gonna get really
do,
long here.
They couldn't put the ball.
We gonna
in
keep
the basket.
Talking in circles. Sure.
They couldn't put the. What is KD's calling card?
Hey,
he's probably the greatest multifaceted scorer the
right.
game has ever seen.
Absolutely.
And yeah, he might be going on 34 right now.
He's still in the peak of his prime.
He can still give you 40 a night if he wants.
And like I said, Nets got to be looking at any team and seeing what's best for this because this guy don't want to be there. He make crazy ultimatums. You got to do what they got to do. Nets going to look wherever way. For the Celtics-wise, in my opinion, stay clear to men.
And but here's my issue with all of that, right? And I hope you understand. I agree with you. I'm thinking business. But here's the problem. Celtics messed up already. Jaylen Brown's gone. In my opinion, Jaylen Brown's gone.
That's 2 years. That's a whole nother conversation.
And that's where it hurt. In 2 years, I don't see JB signing with the Celtics. And I wouldn't if I was saying you brought something up last episode when we talked about this. You brought up Ray Allen. It's the same
type of situation.
The same thing. Ray Allen got disrespected. Ray Allen said, I bet when my contract's up, I'm gonna take left. Mind you, Ray Allen wasn't at the peak of his career as JB is right now. And Ray Allen, but JB.
Very disrespectful.
Ray Allen. Listen, brother. Uncle, not uncle. JB's at the peak of his powers. He's going to get there by 2 years from now. JB's going to leave. I really honestly believe that. And nobody would blink an eye if he did. No one would be like, damn, JB left? Why would he do that? Dude's been in trade talks this whole time.
3 years. 3 years in a row.
He's going to leave, bro. I really honestly believe that. So if you're Brad Stevens, who you already messed up having all this talk, you're thinking, okay, JB 2 years, KD 4 years. Tatum, KD, with the team that I just constructed here, we can, at the end of the day, we can win a championship. Do I want to see it as a Celtics fan? No. Business-wise, Celtics and Nets pairing makes sense, and that's my fear. Because it makes too much sense. That's my fear. And I see it coming, and I see people going crazy, and people are going to rip walls, and F this, F that. And I'm going to sit here and be like, well, like, guys, 1 + 1, we want to talk mathematics. This makes sense.
And the crazy thing is, you put KD on this team, and you remove Derek White and Jaylen Brown. That team might actually just mess around and bring you in.
The team's gonna be nice. We're gonna be mad. Jaylen Brown's gonna be fine in the Nets. He's gonna be fine. He's gonna do great. He's gonna be the number one. Because Kyrie, we learned, Kyrie's not a number one. He can't.
Kyrie gonna go.
JB's developed to the point where he can be a number one in this league.
Kyrie is gonna go, and the pieces that they're gonna get for Kyrie, they're going to add that to the Jaylen and Ben Simmons Nets. And the Nets are going to be fine. They're going to be a 7th seed, 8th seed. They may play in game. Sure, that's the same thing they was last year, just on a lower payroll and less headache. And they'll start their rebuilding process. They'll have a young wing that's already been an all-star that has shown some leadership qualities because, let's be honest, when in the playoffs, when
we don't need Lakers, we don't need Laker fans talking a lot of smack.
Sorry, I was trying to be. You brought up your Celtics fan, brought up the Lakers. I thought I could do the same thing, but you know, my bad. All I'm saying is, if I was the Celtics, and I really had a realistic opportunity to have KD, and all I'm giving up is Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and a first round pick that's going to be in the late 20s anyway because I'm going to go deep in the playoffs.
That's the deal the Nets are going to call back for. They're going to call back for that deal. Now, whatever happens from there, happens from there. But the Nets, KD forced their hands. KD forced their hands and said, hey, fire these people, get rid of me. So now the Nets got to scramble back and be like, hey, guys, you remember that deal that, yeah, because I can't look like a sucker and confound to KD's demands. Because the Nets do that, oh, my God, that ruins the NBA. You're going to have the Devin Bookers and all these players, Anthony Edwards of the world, just demanding stuff and looking like.
And that's why I disagree. You know why I don't think it'll ruin the NBA? Because other owners are going to do what Josiah chose not to do, and that's grow a pair.
I don't know.
I'm telling you right now, because eventually one of these owners is going to draw a line in the sand and be like, all right, go.
Look.
Go where? You can't go. We never seen a player have 4 years in their contract and say, I want out.
But again, if you are the Nets leadership is the reason that place is an insane asylum right now. It should have never gotten to that point. If you give your players all the control, What did you think was going to happen? When has that ever led to a successful situation? Ever. And I'm a Lakers fan. And
I
have Russ on my team. This is what happens.
This player empowerment. Players get too much player power. Empowerment finally reached where it crossed the line. It's finally reached a point. When we got this report that he demanded your coach and GM to get fired, that's wild. And I don't think, honestly, I don't think KD wants them to get fired. He just wants to be out, and he used that as KD's, a play.
KD's a good guy. He don't want these people to not have jobs to take. He don't want to take money out of nobody.
He just doesn't want to be with the Nets. So he said that to force their hand. It's crazy. It's just crazy to think about that a player can willingly, in public, have that be out there that I want my coach and my GM to get fired.
Sick, sickening. But at the end of the day, we gotta wait to see what happens. We don't know what's gonna happen with the situation. Just like we're having conversation here, many other people are having conversation because at the end of the day, nobody knows. Is KD going to get traded? Where is he going to get traded to? Maybe KD is not going to get traded at all, and Brooklyn's just going to say, yeah, you under contract. You better figure that out and get your butt to training camp when we get going. We don't know. So, as we always do here at Double M, we're going to continue to follow the story. We're going to continue to see what's going to happen. And when it does happen, when the news comes out, we're going to be here to break it all down because that's what we do amongst many other things, amongst many other topics. That's what we do here at Double N. That was a long-ass segment.
Yeah, we thought that was going to be 10 minutes.
That was more than 30 minutes. And I mean,
we got Mello.
That was definitely more than 30 minutes. Oh, I knew. Mello, I knew, bro. It's all good. I knew. That's why I was like, yo, maybe I should stop talking because this is going crazy. Because I was like, I looked at the time, I said, oh yeah, we forced it. Because I know there's much more things and even exciting and greater conversation to come in this 109, episode 109. A lot of things that we wanted to talk about, we're going to get to. Do we have to do it all right now? No, we don't. But that's the beauty of having Double M Live. That's the beauty of having this podcast, whether it's this episode, next episode, next episode.
Super week.
We could talk about whatever we want.
A lot of content coming to you guys.
Whenever we want. So, Marv.
All right, moving on. We got, man, this is a special moment here. Serena Williams, you know, she just dropped an article on Vogue magazine claiming that she is getting ready to retire from her career. You know, Serena Williams, one of the greats. I put her in my Mount Rushmore of athletes. Anytime we've ever talked about sports athletes and the greatest, Serena Williams always comes to mind. This one hits home. When you think about Serena Williams, this one, it reminds me of when, it reminds me of Kobe. It reminds me of Paul Pierce. It reminds me of this, our generation here, Mike, like when you grow up with Tiger Woods, when you grow up with people who were kids when we were kids, and you see them as adulthood and you see them winning and how their career is starting to end, it's like, wow. You know, I grew up with her. I remember Serena Williams with the braids and the beads in her hair and her just being a kid. And, you know, when I look at basketball, right, when someone says, what got you into basketball? I always tell them Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson was the guy who got me into basketball. And Michael Jordan, because my dad used to always have my dad used to record VHS tapes. I don't know if some of y'all kids might be a little too young to know what that is, but my dad used to record VHS tapes of Michael Jordan. And so I would watch those. So Michael Jordan and Allen Iverson got me in the sport of basketball. When you talk about football, it was Troy Brown, Ty Law that got me into football. I remember watching my first Super Bowl game that I can really remember in the year 2001. I was like, okay, I love football. Boxing, Mayweather, my dad, once again, Mayweather. So these are male athletes that got me into the sport. Tennis, Yeah, there was Pete Sampras. Yeah, there was Andre Agassi. But it was Serena and Venus Williams that got me into that. I'm a big tennis fan. And Serena and Venus Williams are the ones, women, black women, that got me into the sport of tennis. And to see her become the GOAT, one of the greatest athletes, or one of the greatest American athletes ever. When you talk about greatest American athletes, there's Jordan, Brady, Phelps, Serena. That's it. And like she what she did with the sport is amazing. I'm proud of her. I wanted her to get 24. She has 23 Grand Slam titles. I really wanted her to get 24, but as motherhood came, life came on, it got really tough for her. But at the age of 41, what she did was amazing. Every great has a milestone moment or a signature moment. I think hers was in 2017, late in her career, when she was pregnant, 2 months pregnant, and still won the French Open. That right there just embodies who Serena Williams is. Proud of her. I'm glad that, you know, she's taking the next step into her career. She's someone that, she's a celebrity. We're going to see her down the line. But, yeah, she's one of the greats, Mike. One of the greats.
Yeah, she definitely will go down as one of the greatest to ever do it, obviously in her sport, but in just in terms of looking at sports in general, she's gonna go down as somebody who really dominated, you know, their sport. You know, you look at, like Marv said, different athletes in different sports who are dominant. When you look at the sport of tennis, your mind is automatically gonna go to, oh yeah, Serena Williams was dominant at tennis. Shout out to her and everything she accomplished from the beginning. You know, obviously, I got a chance, and like many other people did, got a chance to watch King Richard, which kind of gave a backstory to Serena Williams' upbringing and even her older sister Venus's upbringing, and, you know, different things they went through to try to get them on the path of greatness and, you know, what they're known for today. And she was dominant. She killed it. You know, even you think about the two Williams sisters. She was the better sister. No disrespect to Venus. Venus was nice in her own right, but Serena was
great too.
Venus was amazing. And you think about how amazing Venus was. Serena was better.
Yeah.
That just goes to show you how dominant she was at the sport. Obviously, you get older. You know, she dealt with some injuries. She became a mom, different things, you know, as well as aging, you know, can slow your career down a little bit. In the last couple of years, she wasn't as dominant as she used to be. She struggled a lot as she got older and trying to bounce back from different injuries and stepping away from the game and whatnot. So it wasn't easy. And that goes for a lot of players in different sports. You know, it is what it is. But despite how her career may have ended in terms of not being as dominant as she once was, overall, when you look back at Serena Williams' career, you'll remember her as being the greatest tennis player who ever lived. That's legit what it is. I don't care if it's in for males, females, when you just look at the sport, because obviously basketball, you're going to talk to me about Diana Taurasi and like, you look at sports in general. When you know someone is dominant, don't matter if it's male or female, you just know. Michael Jordan, basketball. Serena Williams, tennis. Like, that's what it is. Even if they have multiple leagues, you just know that that one person was dominant at that sport. That is Serena Williams. She is the Michael Jordan of tennis. So, here on Double M, we're going to give her flowers. Because she absolutely positively deserves them.
It's crazy that you say Michael Jordan tennis, because like she transcended women's sports. Like when you think of women athletes, first person you think of is Serena Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And she made it so that you can put respect on other women athletes' names, because you look at Serena Williams and you're like, yeah, she can beat most of these men in tennis. like you look at that and you say, yeah, she's dominating the sport, because that's what she did. She was dominating the sport. So now you see, like, UFC, you have all of these women superstar athletes that people root for, like Ronda Rousey and Nunes. And it's like, I think all of that's because of Serena Williams, where she said, okay, we can respect women in sports. This is not just a game. Like, there was a Billie King before her and such. And, you know, she had her shine, but it wasn't like Serena. It wasn't dominating like Serena. When you look at Serena, you're like, oh, this woman is dominating the sport. And I'm not even watching it for women's sports anymore. I'm just watching it as a fan. This is just a sport. We're not even segregating it from men and women. Just, this woman is just the best. And I think that's what she did for the sport. And just as a black woman, to see her just be herself, have swag, being from Compton, hitting the Crip Walk, that's representation matters, right? And that is so dope. And now you see other black women coming up in the game of tennis. You got the Osaka, we have Coco Gauff. Like, you're seeing women out there, Steffens also. Like, so you see all these black women in the sport of tennis. It's really dope to see, because tennis is another elitist sport. So meaning, like, you don't see people of color in these type of sports often, same as in golf. So to see representation like that, and to see a black woman dominating, it's beautiful. I don't think we pay attention to it as much because we were just entrenched in it. But 10, 15, 20 years down the line, when we look back and we think about Serena and Venus Williams, we're going to look back and say, wow, they changed the world. And that's awesome. Two girls from Compton changed the world.
That's what they said in King Richard. Great movie.
Didn't watch it. No. Saw that 2 hours and 30 minutes. So yeah, cool.
It was long. Seen it twice.
No, I did watch it. I knocked. You know where I knocked at? When Richard got his ass beat.
This dude didn't make it 20 minutes in the movie.
That was 20 Marv minutes? Marv
got narcolepsy. I'm telling
y'all, bro. I knocked.
That was 20 minutes into the movie,
bro. He got his ass. He was. Something happened.
Yeah, the kids was like 11.
Yeah, it was like 11.
He got beat up at the beginning of the movie.
Beat up. That's the last thing I see.
Marv got narcolepsy.
Not saying the movie's bad. I don't know if the movie good or bad. I knocked.
Yeah.
It might have been late. It might have been like 1 o'clock in the morning.
I was going to watch it.
See, you didn't watch it. I tried to watch it. HBO Max.
Narcolepsy. It's okay. It's okay.
I don't have no narcolock. What is it called?
Dude, never seen Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo.
This dude gets his freaking diagnosis from movies.
Narcolepsy is a
not even WebMD.
Narcolepsy is
dude
a
gets
real
his di- I never seen Deuce Bigelow. I thought you was about to give me a whole
Yep. That tied up tied a ponytail to a freaking pole so she didn't sleep.
Yeah, this is
a real symptom.
I understand it's a real, but why did he say Deuce Bigelow? Why didn't he just say I don't know the sickness?
Because the best way to describe it is if you watch Deuce Bigelow.
That's where you learned it.
I did. You're right. I learned from there. Now I get it.
From a damn movie. Don't tell me I didn't watch a movie. Something you learned from?
You gotta tie you to when you watch movies. You gotta watch standing up.
No, I have to. I learned that too.
You gotta lean up against the wall standing up.
I can't lay down and watch movies.
No,
but the thing is, I'm always laying down.
You go to a movie theater, bro. You gotta lean up against the exit sign or something. Stand up.
Hey, yo, what?
Yeah. I haven't made it through a couple movies in AMC lately.
And the seats reclined. It's over for Marv.
I sit up.
AMC has not been my friend, but I don't got no narc or whatever.
Listen,
narcotics, no narcs. I don't talk to 12.
We double 11. We don't do no narcotics here, bro.
No, I don't have no narcotics or narcolepsy.
No narcotic, nothing. But yeah. Marv, bro, I know you got some other things in store for this great episode 109, possibly.
We do. I'm just looking at the time. Dude, Sam laughing. This was a great beauty of doing live episodes. Can't break Sam here ever again.
Never again, bro. Dude think I'm telling jokes here.
Look, man, episode 109. It's funny you swing it to me because I'm about to swing it right back to you. But sure. We watched a documentary lately on Woodstock. Shout out to Hov who put us onto it. And that documentary was wild. So just, you know, quick minute or two, your takes on it. I mean, I watched a little bit of it, and, you know.
Woodstock 99.
Got a little tired, but. Mike, what's your quick thoughts on Woodstock? We can dive into it deeper. And, you know, Sam, when we were coming in, he was talking about Freaknik. And we can have a whole podcast on it later. But just your quick reactions on it. Spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah, spoilers for sure. I'm going to say this, though, because I know the time kind of crazy here. But what happened during Woodstock 99 can never be repeated or duplicated if you got a chance to see the documentary. They can't do that again. I know the creators of Woodstock tried to make an event again. I think in 2019 they tried to put it together, but for a lot of reasons it fell apart because of, you know, artists dropping out and couldn't book the right location and whatnot. But screw all of that. I think people saw how 99 went and said, we cannot do anything similar to that again. If you got a chance to see that documentary, it was just a wild three-day event where a lot of wild things happened. I'm talking about 250,000 people being in one location with dirty water, dirty showers, porta potties. Some girl on the documentary said the porta potties smelled like they haven't been changed in over a year. People getting sick because the water that was running is dirty. Then on top of all the sanitary stuff, just the fact that people were so messed up on drugs that they destroyed different things. If you haven't got a chance to see the documentary, Woodstock 99, check it out. But overall thoughts and feelings, it was a crazy time in 1999. Even though I was young in 1999, but I don't remember hearing about Woodstock 99. It was just nothing that really came across my path. I don't remember. I mean, I was young, but I didn't hear about Woodstock 99. But all that to say, nothing like that's happening again. I know there's different music festivals that go on, Coachella and what's this, another Lollapalooza, mm-hmm. something like that. Those things go on. But nothing's on the level of Woodstock. Nothing should ever be on the level of Woodstock. And it was just a really crazy time where if something like that were to happen again, a lot more precautions and
social media
security and whatnot. If social media was around, the videos that pop up on IG and Twitter, you'd get to see some wild like X-rated stuff.
I was thinking
stuff
about that too, because
if social media was popping,
there was cameras and stuff that was there, so we got cameras to see some wild stuff.
But even
we wasn't in there.
I believe, and I think Sam, you watched the whole thing, so I think you remember this as well.
Sure.
They didn't let people bring in cell phones. You weren't allowed to bring in like cell.
Not many people had cell phones.
I mean, obviously 1999, but you couldn't bring in any type of devices or anything.
Well, people were allowed to bring cameras. Obviously, because there were people that like recorded stuff that was going on. Like, you remember that part? I think it was in the third episode where they started to, no spoilers. Well,
we're spoiling.
Let's just say things started to go awry, and there was one guy that was leaving, and then he heard something.
Yeah, but I feel like
the car.
I think he was like some type of media. I mean, obviously, no big like media company, but I think he was a part of like a media.
It was weird. But they allowed people to bring in.
There was no cameras of like in depth, like people standing in the crowd. There was no cameras of anything like that.
If somebody brought a camera, that was a regular.
I feel like that might have been something that was confiscated. But yeah, Woodstock 99, wild, crazy documentary. Yeah. Check it out if you haven't got a chance.
Let's do a podcast on it.
All right, I'm all for that.
Just wait for me to catch up real quick.
Yeah, don't go to sleep.
Watch that tonight.
Not tonight. I promise you, I won't make it
if
it's tonight. But, yo, this is Double M Live, yo. What makes this special is it's live. We just do whatever comes to the spot. We got Cool Sam, our EP, in the building. We got Mello and Maya for Warm in the building. It's just...
Yeah, tell us it's some lies over there, something.
It's just a beautiful family thing. That's what I love about this season four. Season four? Season four of Double M is Family Affairs. Appreciate everyone who's been tuned in. Episode 109. Be on the lookout. Me and Mike are going to talk about doing a live episode for September. Hopefully that comes into fruition. But this is Super Week. This is Double M Super Week. That means you have listened to all of our episodes coming into you. You guys are in the final stretch. The final stretch of Super Week. We appreciate all of you guys listening and tuning in. Make sure you catch us on Instagram. Make sure you subscribe, like, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that. Just write out Double M Media. You'll find us. That's Mike Nice. I'm DJ Mies. We got Cool Sam in the building. We got Warm in the building. We out of here. Peace.